Hey everyone, welcome to the Full Armor of God. My name is Chris. You can go to the website, which is thefullarmorofgod.podomatic.com. Today I'm going to play an interview that I did on a show called Sword of the Spirit on TalkShoe.com. It's hosted by a guy that calls into the Frank and Chris show, and now a really good friend. His name is CJ. But it was a really cool conversation, and I think that you'll like the show, and you'll like the direction that he's taking the show. He's got some really, really good ideas for future episodes as well, so here it is, the Sword of the Spirit interview with CJ.
TalkShoe. Recorded live.
Hello, everyone. My name is CJ. This is my attempt at starting a new show for all you guys out there, that especially the guys that have already been listening to Revelations Radio and have been looking for more something, you know, extra to keep going. I know Frank and Chris do an awesome job and all the other guys on there. This show is going to be called Sword of the Spirit, because the Bible is our sword, and it leads us to the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is in us. I've also got from Revelations Radio and Nowhere to Run, Chris White. Hi, Chris.
Hey, man, what's up?
Hey, man, I really appreciate you helping me out here, man. This is interesting. It's tough to get started on this.
No, it's my pleasure, man. I've always liked it when you call into the show. You have a really unique insight on it, and I really like the direction that you're wanting to go with the whole show and everything. It's just, it's a good idea.
Yeah, well, like I said, you and Frank do an awesome job, you know, covering the news and current events, and so I figured we didn't need another news show, and we got Ziggy and Brother T and them other guys that do really good, you know, studies and, you know, in-depth things, and I was looking for something more for people as a route to, you know, if they need prayer, prayer requests, if they need encouragement, you know, if they have even, you know, not even necessarily if they need prayer, if they just want to share a praise, that, you know, this could be an outlet where people can, you know, share with others what Christ is doing in their life, or, you know, what Christ is doing, you know, in other people's lives that they've been praying about, you know, things along those lines.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
So, like I said, here we go. The email address for the show is swordofthespirit1@verizon.net. swordofthespirit1@verizon.net. And like I said, that's kind of goes along. I wanted to get that email address out there because, like I said, if people, you know, need prayer, if they have a praise or anything, send an email. And you know, if they want to share it with the people so that other people can share in their joy, or if they need other people, you know, to be praying for them or their family or anything like that, that's what I want this to be about. So I don't know, how about you, Chris? What's Christ been doing for you that you've noticed in your life here recently?
Well, actually, here recently it's been I don't know if I'd go as far to say dramatic difference, but definitely a difference in kind of a direction that he's definitely taken me, and it's a really exciting direction. I think it's more, I don't know, I almost get the feeling sometimes that it's something, it's like what I was doing as far as kind of like apologetics to a lot of people, you know, kind of looking into a lot of the darker things and trying to get them out of it. I don't know if, I mean, obviously that's still going to continue to a degree, but I really feel like he was like, okay, you know, now I want you to preach the gospel in a sense. I mean, like, I don't know which direction or how it's going to work, but I definitely was impacted by a few people lately, and it seemed to all kind of come together in a sense of me really genuinely seeking more of him and what that entails, you know, and the sacrifices and everything that come with it. Of course, those sacrifices are, you know, met with, you know, such a wonderful gift of peace and all kinds of blessings that come with it. But certainly I think that a lot of things that I've been doing lately have been kind of turning over the leaf of really understanding what the gospel message is, and then kind of, I feel like he's kind of making me or turning me into a kind of person that will tell anybody at any time. And I really want to be that. And it just really has been hitting me with a lot of things lately. I did a few shows recently about, you know, how important it was to hand things out. And I, you know, that was the key for me, like having something to literally give somebody. In this case, it was DVDs. It was like I put some YouTube clips together that I, you know, compiled from different places that I thought were just premium preaching the gospel. And then I just, then that was like my ticket to ride around and just, and it was just great. It was like, oh my gosh, I'm doing it, you know, but it's not just that, it's like, yeah, in every aspect. But it, and so I guess that's where I'm at right now, as far as generally, more specifically.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I'm just listening to you say all that stuff. And I mean, that's almost exactly, well, where I'm at in my spiritual walk right now, because, you know, I spent, I don't know, probably the last 3 or 4 years just trying to, you know, instead of taking what's preached from the pulpit and taking it as gospel, I've actually made, you know, taken that step to try and learn and get closer to God on my own. And I've, you know, the past few years, I think, you know, my faith and my walk has evolved, where now instead of looking things up to try and prove why I'm right and why I think I'm right, you know, and why you're wrong, you know, just hypothetically about, you know, an issue or whatever, now it's more of a, man, God has really opened my eyes about not, you know, the legalistic aspect of, you know, oh, well, you know, I'm a Baptist and you're a Catholic, so you're going to hell. You know, that's, I'm at a point now where I'm just, the message needs to be preached. I mean, you look at the world we live in, and times are getting tough everywhere. It's not just America, you know, we got this economic collapse that's looming and all that, but now I just have a genuine heart and a genuine need to want to share my faith with as many people as possible, and which, like I said, is another reason that led me to try and start a show here with you guys to, like I said, share my faith and show people what, you know, not just knowing God and knowing the Bible, but incorporating it and having that true relationship with Christ and how that can change the direction of your life. So, I mean, it's...
Right,
just,
and it's like he's raising up like a bunch of people that are committed to, you know, I mean, he's always been this way. It's not like it's a new thing, but it does seem like it's getting ready for extremely important revival back to like the roots of true Christianity. And like you said, it doesn't matter. It's completely blind to denominations. Denominations weren't a good thing. I mean, it was never supposed
right.
to be like that. You know, it was a church for a city, you know, that's the biblical model. And I don't think that there's any limitations holding us back. You know, if it's God's will and we're praying for things like that, and we have like a message that is what he was saying from the beginning, but we kind of forgot. And then if it's his power that is behind it, then all we got to do is just go do it. And I think that we have like with this, we have new tools available with things like, you know, the DVDs and different things like the tracks. And, you know, like I was really thinking that I wanted to go out there and just kind of like mingle in a lot of what was going on with the whole New World Order and try to wake people up to that, in addition to waking them up to the gospel message, and kind of like incorporate that in there, which has kind of been like mm-hmm. sort of the theme of what I've been doing. But then it really hit me like in all this past few weeks of like really just seriously trying to seek more of them, then it's just like in these times of peril, they don't even need that. They need the mm-hmm. gospel hard and fast. They need the real deal, like no pulling, no punches, no softballs, you know. They need it short
right.
and sweet and just, you know, they need it bad. Everybody does. Just the gospel, pure and simple, you know.
Right. Well, that's the one aspect that kind of, I, for me personally, was, you know, I've wanted to do something to spread the gospel for a while now, but I've just, you know, what's been holding me back is myself, is I realize there's still aspects in my life that, you know, I have, you know, reoccurring sin, things in my life that I know I need to, you know, work on. And I kept telling myself, well, once I stop doing that for good, you know, well, then I'll be brave enough. Or once I get that aspect out of my life, then God will use me. And I realized it was me standing in the way of God using me and not the sin. Because no matter how, even though I'm saved, no matter how hard I try, I'm never going to be perfect. You know, my goal should be to be Christ-like. But once I realized that, you know what, God's going to use me either way, you know, if I allow God to use me, he will use me. And so now that I've taken that leap of faith, like, okay, God, I know there's going to be some people that are going to laugh. There's going to be people that mock me now because, you know, like I said, I fully plan on sharing this with coworkers, friends, anyone who listened to it, because maybe they'll give it to someone that, you know, hey, check this out. I know this guy and you should listen to this, you know, and if that gets the gospel message to somebody that's never heard it, you know what I mean? That's what my prayer is, you know, I would love to reach as many people as I can, but if only one person that's never heard the gospel or understood it hears this and it changes their life, then I'm satisfied.
Exactly. You know, and one thing I was realizing when I was out there, you know, handing out DVDs and stuff is that it has nothing to do with us. You know, if I went out there and just started handing DVDs where I thought people needed it were, it would never work. But the beauty of the whole thing, I mean, it would work probably, you know, percentage-wise, but mm-hmm. if you're praying before you do that kind of thing and, you know, asking God to lead you to those people that need your help, you know, he's got a bunch of people that he knows, you know, really well, that he knows need exactly what you got and are willing to give. So he arranges those things because he doesn't desire for anybody to be saved. And he, you know, if it's all in accordance to his will and, you know, you've been trying to seek it, then he's the one making all those arrangements for the most part.
Right, right.
So, I mean, it might just be one person, but it's who, you know, God wanted, you know, that one person God wanted, you know, but more than likely it's always going to be more than one.
Yeah, so I figured, you know, me finally accepting the fact that, you know, I'm never going to be perfect in this physical form, in this life, you know, until Christ comes back and I get my immortal body, you know, I'm always going to have temptation. And, you know, I would like to say I could be strong enough to resist every temptation that comes before me, but I know it's never going to happen completely. So now I'm just like, all right, God, this is my prayer. I am an imperfect vessel, but, you know, I have your Holy Spirit in me. Use me however you can to help direct someone, you know, to Jesus. I don't know, man. I have that burden, and it's crazy because now at work, like people that, you know, where I work in a UAW factory, and you know, I don't know if you've ever heard the term shop talk. I mean, we got some 90-year-old grandmas in there that can make a dog curl. You know, I mean, the language in there, and it's not like people aren't disgusted by it there, and you fall. It's just as an example, it's so easy to fall into that and, you know, start using the foul, disgusting language and stuff like that, making lewd jokes, and, you know, but like here recently, I found myself trying to, you know, step back a little bit from that and try and, not that I'm trying to be better than anyone else, but just that for me personally, I'm trying to be more of an example without speaking by my actions, which is really hard for me.
Yeah,
but,
I know.
But just for me doing that, reading my Bible at work, like it's weird, like the number of people that see me reading my Bible, and some people are immediately, you know, oh, what the heck are you doing that for? That, you know, that's just a book of lies. And then people that are believers, they look at you like, oh man, good man. We need more people in here like that. And you know, and I'm not like saying anything. It's just by doing. And you know, I feel that God has used me at work with people that were in a kind of a similar situation as me. They were believers, but they were kind of in a, how do I put it, like a stalemate. They weren't growing in their faith. And now, like, just because of some of the topics I've brought up, some of the things I've talked about, some of the things I've learned recently, or, you know, I'll share with people, and their minds instantly turn into, oh, yeah, well, I go to church too. And then you get into, you know, talk about where they go to church and stuff like that. Oh, yeah, we should do that more at work. You know, why don't we do that more? And then I just look at them and say, well, let's start. So, I mean, it's just, you know, just God using me through, you know, little things like that is what's really been helping me build my faith here recently.
Oh, and yeah, man. Living by example is such a testimony.
And, you know, there's still, like I said, I'm not trying to sound like I am, you know, Joe Holy, because I'm definitely not. I mean, I'm just like everyone else. I mean, I still fall and stumble every single day. But I want people to, I guess, like, it's amazing to me is, like, once I've gotten started on truly studying the Word on my own and sharing my faith with others with a passion, people see that in you, and when I see that growing in them, it makes my hunger to go closer to God grow that much more too. So it's like a, you know, once you get the ball rolling, it's amazing the results that you see.
Right.
I mean,
I think
that's
the key to it, I think, because it's like I've heard before, you know, God empowers a soul-winning ministry, you know? I mean, and I think what people see after you make that initial step, that first one, the commitment to even pray that God leads people to you that you can save, is a step in itself, you know? That's even before you actually doing it. You know, and I think a lot of people just have this vision of like, well, I mean, I'm just not going to go knock on doors. You don't got to knock on doors. I mean, if you're praying for it to happen, you know, and you have the, you know, desire to do it. But once you, even if you have to fake the first one, even if you have to go make the first attempt completely on your own, which you probably won't be, but it's just like you said, it's an empowering thing. Then he like really blesses that ministry, you know, with his, and so what they're seeing in you is him. And that's why I think, you know, it makes sense. And like you said, when you're not really doing anything except for kind of backing away and living, you know, kind of not like the world. And that really gives people something to see that it, first of all, that it can be done, you know, that they could, that's a big step. You know, I definitely, in the band that I'm in, that was a big thing, just to, you know, quit drinking and then still be on the road for 2 years. And just that alone got another guy to quit drinking. And he said, you know, he could never have done that. I mean, nobody ever knew that you could quit drinking and still be, you know, in bars every night and a rock and roll band. It just wasn't something that people heard of. So, and then, yeah, I don't know. It also reminds me of a story that somebody said one time. Well, I just listened to this as a preacher say this, but that, you know, he was talking to somebody who was like in a small town or whatever. And he was the guy was telling him that he was this like street minister. He's like, hey, you know what? You know, you don't understand. I got to dress like this and do like this because, you know, I'm on the streets and these people, you know, won't, you know, whatever. He's like, look at me. You know, I've been at the worst possible, you know, named the much, much worse place that he ministered in. And he's like, and you know what I look like? I look like a preacher. And they, you know, that was what they needed. You know, they didn't need somebody to look like them. They needed somebody that looked like a preacher, you know, for that ministry. Anyway, I don't know. Obviously there's exceptions to every rule like that for sure.
Yeah. Well, like what you were saying though, it's like for me, like one of the, like, I don't want to say epiphany because it wasn't like a life altering thing, but one thing that like hit me is I think there, I want to be like an all encompassing, I don't care what your beliefs are, what your background is, you know, or what you're involved in. If you're, you know, start listening to this and you find it interesting, I want you to keep listening. There is no, you know, Sunday best when it comes to this show. I mean, I just, my desire is just to spread the word and encourage brothers and sisters, because I think there's too many churches out there today, and not just, you know, individual denominations, but like I struggle with what would happen if, you know, say a gay couple walks into your church. Is your church going to say, all right, you need to accept Christ now and or leave because we don't want your kind here? Or are they just going to look past it and accept them and just be happy that they're there and pray that Christ will work in their lives instead of just saying convert or get out, you know? And I just think there's, and that was just an example, but there's too many churches out there that unless you conform to exactly what that church teaches or whatever their doctrine is, they don't want you there. And to me, that's not the message of Christ.
You know, right. Christ, you know, it seemed, go ahead.
I was just say Christ wants, you know, in the world, but not of the world, you know, and I guess it took me a long time to fully understand what that means. Cause like you said, you know, I can walk into a bar and feel perfectly comfortable and not worry about, oh, well, what if someone from church sees me here? You know, like I walk in and like I pray everywhere I go now, no matter if I'm picking up dinner from somewhere or if I'm at work, God use me, you know, soften somebody's heart to hear what you want to tell them and use me, Lord. I, you know, here am I, Lord, send me.
Right. I mean, it's like, I heard somebody preaching on this. I wish I knew where this was off the top of my head in the Bible, but the idea that the early church was, it was kind of an idea that you know, it was God that called them to the church, and it didn't matter what they, you know, were or anything at that time. It was like, it was kind of like, well, God's the one that brought you here, so, you know, you're a part of the church. So we're going to, as you said, you know, we're going to conform to God's will, and you're already a member of the church. You don't got to do anything, write down anything, say anything, conform to our ideals. God made you a member of this church, so you're a member of the church. You know, it's not the other way around. It doesn't really matter what our perceptions of it, but that's so far gone, obviously, in the situation that we're in right now, which is a shame. And,
well,
and I think
that's something that, I was going to say, that's something that cracks me up, though. People ask you, oh, you know, do you go to church? Yeah. And almost every time their next question is, oh, what denomination are you? Like, they're getting ready to, you know, size you up in your mind because they already know what X denomination believes and what they don't believe. And, you know, so they know, you know, what you believe. And to me, I don't like to categorize myself as anything. I don't even like to say non-denominational, because even that's become a denomination anymore. You know, I just
right.
say I'm a believer. You know, I'm a believer in the Word, and I try to apply its teachings to my life.
Yeah. I mean, that's the best answer, you know, or answer similar to it. And there really, I don't know, I don't think there should be, you know, much of a different one. And I think that for some of these things, God has probably given us over to our own version of, I don't know, I think that some churches are getting their reward in full, as it were, you know, and I don't know. I think that he is calling people, I wouldn't say out of the church, because that's not true. I've said it a lot of times that I think to say that all the churches have it wrong is to give the Holy Spirit absolutely no credit, because obviously the Holy Spirit is building churches that are just so filled with the Holy Spirit everywhere. I mean, that would just be crazy to think that he's not working in that regard and doing it in a building with a 501c3 or whatever, you know. But also there's a lot of house churches and people coming out of that, and a lot of people in their areas don't have anywhere to go in their town like that, a big, you know, local building. So house churches are springing up, and I do think that they are going to be crucial in these very interesting times that we're going through. And they are, I mean, churches don't cost any money to run, you know. I mean, they have absolutely no overhead. They never did. It was just people, and there wasn't a preacher to pay, you know. Everybody was the preacher, and everybody had an equal footing. There was no church. I mean, there was elders, but those were just the ones that are more further along in Christ. They were kind of pushing up the ones below them, you know, towards Christ, as it were. So the whole model is different, but that doesn't mean that the regular model can't work or that you should get out of it or anything like that, because that's just not true. But there will come a time, I think, that the traditional churches that have been given over to this deception will continue in that when given the big choice, whatever it is that's coming, to think that those kinds of churches haven't been targeted for and have a very crucial role in all this. I mean, they're going to be co-opted one way or another. And you can see that happening a little bit with the 501c3 thing, because if you do enter in that agreement, I mean, the Constitution says Congress shall make no law respecting the freedom of religion. However, if you enter into a contract with the government saying you can make all the rules that you want about this religion as long as you give us a tax break, then all of a sudden the federal government can knock on your door and say, hey, you shouldn't be endorsing political candidates, and if you do, we'll shut this whole operation down. And so who knows where that's going to lead? You know, it's going to lead somewhere. I mean, it was created to lead somewhere.
Right. Well, one thing that I like to share with people, I can't claim it as my own. My church that I go to, they have a discipleship curriculum that is free to anyone who comes. You know, it's not just for members or non-members or anything like that. My church doesn't even have a membership role. But what they do is part of it is they believe that you should have in your life a Paul, a Barnabas, and a Timothy. A Paul being your spiritual grader, you know, mentor. Barnabas being your spiritual equal, someone who's on a similar level with you in your walk. And then your Timothy, which is the person that you're mentoring, the person, you know, that's not as far along that you're helping to get to where you're at, you know, not in a, you know, conceited I'm holier than you way, but just in a, you know, a person who's been a believer a little longer, helping the person that is a new believer, you know, and on up. And that's something I've been trying to implement in my life personally. And, you know, that's another one where, you know, when I mess up, it kind of gets in the way of that because I'm like, well, how can I be a mentor to someone if I'm still screwing up like this or like that? You know, it's just, you know, realizing, you know, what Christ did on the cross, you know, your sins are forgiven. You have freedom in Christ. You know, I guess that's a concept that I'm still coming, you know, to full terms on, you know, freedom in Christ, you know, not using it as a fire insurance. Well, you know, I got my God card, so I can do whatever I want. You know, it's not that. It's, you know, and so I'm hoping that, like, this is, you know, through this show, that might be another way that I might be able to do that, you know, is not just have, like, spiritual equals or spiritual, you know, infants, but also maybe end up coming in contact with someone who is a spiritual greater and that could, you know, give me insight and help me learn. So, I don't know.
Sure, that's a really, really good idea that they got going on there. I think that's the way to do it, the Paul Barnabas Timothy idea. And, you know, that's really, I mean, what the Great Commission was, you know, about. I mean, it was, yes, to go tell people, but, you know, as it says, to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all the things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, and even to the end of the age. I mean, it's like, that's the discipleship is such a big part of the whole thing. I mean, it's to really to have the Timothy, as you put it, in your life is such a crucial part of this whole thing. And I know that you know, absolutely having elders and people that you can look up to is great too. And I think that what's interesting about the situation we have on the internet and the different speakers and stuff like that are out there and the different, you know, we have access to so much information and like the best of the best of teachers and instructors worldwide. You know, we could, those that have at least, you know, put audio online at some point or another. And so we had just, and not even that, but the written works of so many of these people, we just have an unbelievable library at our fingertips. So we don't have an excuse for not having a mentor, you know, and, or not a mentor, but, you know, somebody that we can learn from in that regard, at least a lot more. So we should be a generation that can be really, empowered in knowledge as far as that goes. And so, you know, and I do think it, as you said, you know, it's hard to be a mentor when you're stumbling all the time. Or, you know, how can you do that? But I think part of that is obviously how you deal with your stumbling is in itself a mentoring thing for sure. And also there was another point about, something in there. Oh, well, I think that's it for that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's just, it's definitely a cool thing. I really do think the Revelations Radio Network is a good part of that. I see us all as kind of equals, you know. I mean, we're all kind of in this trying to figure it out together. I do think that at times it's important for us as hosts and things like that to email each other privately if something's not right, to, you know, reprove or, you know, ask one another
to reprove and reproach a brother. Yeah.
Because that's important because, you know, there are people that are looking up to us, you know, because we're doing research and things like that, you know, trying to figure out stuff. And if you've ever listened to, you know, my show, you know that I am completely, you know, I'm wrong a lot, you know. I mean, it's like, I've done things for like entire years and just like said it as just the truest thing in the world, only to find out it was not true. And I found things from people that I just thought could do no wrong were false. So, I mean, it's just, it's in this world, there is so much deception about the things that we're trying to figure out, you know, that it's just so imperative that if we found something out that we've already crossed that path, we've got to lovingly, you know, instruct our brother to do that, because we do have a lot of people that are just new babes in this whole thing, looking to us for whatever we can do.
Yeah. When you said that, it had me giggling because, when you were doing that Gog Magog study, when you said, you know, rethinking the Gog Magog war and then rehashing or rethinking the rethinking of.
I'm still sticking with that. I've heard so many things since then, and I can't figure out why nobody mentions the Revelations 20 when they're doing their studies of the Gog Magog war. But that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, that's true. I was going to say, well, actually, but no, I guess that's not the purpose I wanted to use for this. I mean, I don't know, One thing I've wondered, I don't know, for you and Frank and some of the other guys, it's a discussion I've had with some of my fellow brothers in Christ here where I live. I struggle because I've had people that pray about, you know, being the person to, you know, God, let me plant the seed, even if they don't want to hear it, you know, and then somebody else will water it, you know what I'm saying? I personally have found myself lately, instead of God give me an opportunity to talk to them about the gospel, it's, which don't get me wrong, I want to do, but here lately I found myself praying that God would soften the person's heart that I want to share, you know, because I'm already, you know, if I've got the mindset that I'm going to share the gospel with this person, you know, the opportunity is already going to be there because you're willing. And I don't know, I've you know, reading, you know, about how God, you know, softened, you know, Solomon's heart, you know, or he hardened so-and-so's heart, you know what I mean, in the Bible, where, you know, God has the ability to make people open to what you have to say. And, sure. And so here, that's been my prayer. I mean, the reason I'm bringing this up is I've had people disagree with me, saying, well, you know, free will, you know, if God did that, that he'd be changing their mind for them and whatnot. I mean, I don't know. Do you think it's a valid point to be praying for people to be receptive, to have their hearts opened, or just for the opportunity to witness?
Oh, yeah, man. I really think that's the key part. I mean, I think there isn't anything in this whole situation as far as what we're supposed to be doing and furthering the work of our Lord is to be prayed up and down. I think that softening people's heart is something that is just so biblical, and, you know, the idea that, I mean, people can even pray for somebody, for God to, you know, soften the heart. I mean, what else? I mean, that's how I would pray for, you know, people that I would like to be saved. And I certainly also take that, I don't know if you'd say a step further, but I really, when I am absolutely confident in knowing is just as in within God's will, for the most part, there are probably exceptions to this where God probably sent the delusional spirit or whatever, but to pray against any evil spirits in the name of Jesus, and pray against any oppression or anything. I ask for spirits to be completely bound in the name of Jesus at the time that I'll be talking with somebody or while they're watching. I do that with like videos and stuff like that. I pray over them before they go out and podcast that spirits won't be able to whisper in the ears while people are watching it or after it. Just bind them ahead of time. I think that our prayers are so, if we could see the physical things that they were doing, we would pray all the time. I think we're punching holes in darkness that thought it had it completely covered. You know, I mean, we are making dents in spiritual walls and stuff, and not just spirits being rebuked, but, you know, as you said, softening hearts and stuff like that. I mean, that's what God, it's within God's will, you know, and so it being prayed up before you do anything like that is just such a it's the only way to ensure that it's not just your might, you know, trying to do anything, because ultimately it really never matters when what we say or how well we say it when we're trying to convert somebody or whatever, because it's not our arguments at all. We could say as little as something that doesn't even matter, and if God is present, they will, you know, fall to their knees, you know, because, and a lot of times, as people have pointed out, that's the importance of just knowing scripture by heart, because if you can just be there and be a conduit for God to give you the scripture that that person needs, and you're in such a place where you can hear God speak and tell you what the scripture that person needs, you don't have to bring one logic argument about anything anywhere. You just have to repeat the word, and that will pierce the veil of their heart, which is what it does. It's the sword of the Spirit. I mean, it really is our sword. It's what does the piercing all by itself. And so we're just chess pieces on a grand chessboard.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that, man. That's one thing in my spiritual journey here lately that I've obviously prayed, you know, but like incorporating prayer more into my life throughout, not just God, thank you for this food, bless it to my body, you know, God, thank you for this day. You know, I mean, actually getting down and praying, you know, that God would use you to change people's lives, you know, I mean, actually talking to God, not just reciting a prayer that you've prayed, you know, a billion times in your life, you know, for meals before you go to bed, but, you know, I mean, actually talking to God, you know, and here lately in my life is something that I've really been opened up to the true power of praying in Jesus' name and praying for God's will to be done. I mean, the results you get are, I mean, they don't just surprise you. You talk about, you know, like, solidifying your faith, like knowing that God is God. You know, that's kind of where I want this show to go. I mean, I want people to start praying. I want people to be prayed for, you know, not just me praying for people that email, but, you know, people that participate in this show praying for each other. I mean, it's just going to make us all stronger. And you look at where the world's heading right now, and I personally believe that we are on the edge of some very, very tough times, you know, whether you believe it's the end of the age or whatever, I'm not going to get into all that, but, you know, either way, we're still on the brink of some very, very tough times. And so us as a family of believers need to be lifting each other up, need to be encouraging each other, need to be praying for each other, you know, with the power of Jesus, because with that, we can all be stronger and all be more, you know, mentally, physically, spiritually prepared for the tough times that are coming.
Amen, man. I tell you, I mean, prayer is our heavy artillery in the full armor of God. It's rarely mentioned in the full armor of God, but it's right there at the end. It's the big guns. And, you know, it's like, that's the one key thing that makes Christians the crazy way that they are. And the thing that atheists and detractors never understand is that we continually see miracles every day. It's so commonplace to us that they don't understand why this devotion is. Their only explanation for it is that we've been brainwashed because they don't see any reason to have devotion to something. But when a Christian says quite plainly, it's like, no, he never forsakes me. I mean, he's there all the time and he answers my prayers. I mean, it's like, I mean, a Christian knows what you're talking about. It's like, oh, yeah, I know, man. Can you believe what he did this to me yesterday? It's just, I got this out of nowhere. I mean, it's always just like that. And so you'll never shake a true Christian's faith that God is working with and that's in prayer and winning and his daily, you know, devotional prayers and stuff like that. I mean, just spending that time, you know, devoting a certain amount of time every day. It doesn't have to be a certain amount of time. Just to read the Bible or listen to the Bible or – you know, whatever, and pray about what you need and just list it. I mean, that's the selling point to a lot of people that are, you know, struggling with the things and the hardships of this life, is that it's like we all need things. I mean, this life is hard. So, you know, there's this satanic lie that is that, oh, you're not good enough to pray, or, you know, you shouldn't be praying. And that is just not true. God wants you to lay it all on the line, lay it all before his feet, so that when he answers them, it will build your faith. And just like you and me, we're out here telling people about it precisely because he has answered our prayers so many times that we, because of the second greatest commandment that we love our neighbor, we want them to have the same things that we have, you know, this fulfillment and peace and power in prayer. And so it comes full circle as long as you pray for the things that you need.
I tell you what, man, like going along with prayer, though, like you're saying, keeping yourself in the Word. I mean, there's been so many times where doubts have crept in about things in my life. And through prayer and diving into the Word, you know, and reading the Word and just embedding it into your heart, man, it really, really builds you up and helps you. And now, like I said, I've been praying and reading and studying the Word, I feel I'm at a point now where I need to be not just sharing this with, you know, my wife and kids or my coworkers. I need to be sharing the message of the kingdom with everybody, like sharing the Word, you know, the Scriptures, everything. Like, I'm at a point now where I know, like I said before, I know I'm going to get made fun of for this. I know that there's going to be certain people that will mock me and say, well, hey, man, I knew you 3 years ago and we did this together, man. How can you do that and say that you're still a Christian? And I'll be like, you know what? Because I got the word of God in my heart. It's the sword of the Spirit, and I'm going to use it.
Amen. You know, I got a similar thing to that going on right now, because what I feel called to do right now is to pray for and really try to take back my city, you know, my small town here. And I just really feel like I can do it, you know, and I think that things like just riding around on my bike and handing up these DVDs, and the power in this DVD is just so intense. It doesn't matter who I give it to, Christian or otherwise, they all need to hear it. And so, and if anybody wants to check it out, you can check it out on, I think I just posted it. You can probably go to Google and type in Video Tract, Video Tract, T-R-A-C-T, and I don't know if it's ranking on there, and Google Video. But anyway, so I'm here in my small town, you know, where I grew up and went to high school and everything, and, you know, it's a real small town, gospel, whatever. And sure, I just don't even care anymore, you know? I mean, I don't care who it is they see or whatever. They're getting a DVD. I don't care about anything. I don't care about these small talk conversation, whatever, everybody is on equal footing as far as I'm concerned. And then, you know, they all need this DVD as far as I'm concerned. But, and, you know, about it being dangerous and stuff like that, I also got the feeling yesterday riding around that it was going to be, that there's going to be opposition if you're doing something good. It doesn't matter what it is. If you're doing something good for God and for the glory of Jesus Christ, there will be opposition, there will be hardships, and you can expect it. I mean, Jesus told us to expect it. If you're on the right track, you're going to get really, really hurt. And so, but it, in a way, that's your confirmation. So just wear it like a badge of honor. And I know that a lot of people do that, you know, like that's all they have is that badge of honor. And because, like, let's say some of the groups that knock on your doors and stuff like the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Latter-day Saints or whatever, they get so many doors slammed in their face, they wear that as a badge of honor. It's like, well, you know, they said there'd be hardships, and this is just proof that, you know, we're part of this elite group, you know, and they really, that's all they got. I mean, in one respect, but I definitely got that vibe when I was walking around, but it's different, you know, it's definitely, we're riding around. It's different because I'm just as genuine as possible. I'm not working for anybody, and you know, I'm on a mission from God. So
there you go, old Blues Brothers line there, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, right now, I guess that's the next phase. Like, I think God is trying to teach me is learning to understand and appreciate, quote, suffering for Christ, which, you know, like you said, you should wear it as a badge of honor. You should look at it as a positive when people, if that's what they, I mean, I can't remember the exact passage or where it's at, but if that's, you know, if that's the charge against you, you know, and that's what people are bringing against you is your dedication to the word and the fact that you're spreading it and it offends them and they don't want to hear it, wear that as a badge of honor. You know, that's suffering for Christ, understanding that no matter, you know, how well you present what you're trying to get out there, there's always going to be that opposition, and learning to deal with it in a way that it doesn't get you down. It doesn't keep you from the desire and the action of spreading the word. You know, I mean, that's I think that's what I'm trying to learn right now, is because, you know, I dealt with, you know, just, it started slow for me. I started reading my Bible at work, you know, not like throwing it in people's face, you know, just sitting at my desk, you know, reading it here and there, you know, and then I went to, you know, my break times where instead of going down and playing cards or doing whatever, you know, I'm in the Word. And slowly it got to a point where, you know, I felt a little more comfortable talking to people that I knew were Christians or went to church about it, to where now it's, you know, everyone I see, it's like instantly the first thing on my mind, you know, oh man, I got to share with this person. Do they know? You know, I guess it's a sense of urgency that I have in my heart, because like I said, I believe we're in, you know, heading into some very tough times, and you know, how many people are gonna, you know, not have that rock of God being in their life to help them, you know, get through tough times.
You know, it's a really good point. And it's what really struck me there is what I noticed too, is that God works with you at your own pace. You know, he is really, He knows where you're at and what you can do and everything. And I think that he does kind of like teach you by kind of like little small rebukes just to get you on the right track, to make sure, like in just the most loving way, knowing that, you know, to prepare you for even better things. It's just such an amazing thing. Like in here in Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verse 11, it says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that gathereth understanding." So that's just right on, you know. I mean, and I definitely felt that last night, like he was really teaching me right from the beginning. Like I was kind of being taught the different things of different kind of things that would be happening and different things to expect. It just happened in such a really gradual, loving way. And it was just preparing me for probably a lot more of it.
Well, do you get that just as a believer? Like, I feel like God is using me and like almost like even through doing this is like preparing me, and I don't want to say like tempering me, but like trying to show me and teach me to rely on him no matter how, you know, how people come at you or whatever, because I feel like God is going to be using me when people don't have an answer for what's going on in their life. Like, I want to be that vessel that God uses, you know, to show people what true hope and true love is. You know, I want people, you know, like, I guess I struggle. There's too many times where people, like, just throw a Bible verse to someone who's never read the Bible and expect them to understand. And I want to be that person that, you know, not just throws scripture at somebody, but like shows them Christ's love, shows them, you know, what it means to be a believer and follower of Christ, you know? And so, like I said, with the tough times that are in the future, God's going to be raising people up that are willing to take that hit to their ego or be able to, you know, sacrifice, you know, being the popular guy or being the cool guy, you know, because they have that desire and need to bring people into the fold.
Right. And I definitely get the feeling too that, you know, it's a step-by-step process. Like right now, this is kind of like, you know, we take it where we're at and do what we can do. And he takes us to the next level as we are willing to do it. And I really think that the more of him that we get, the more that we can't help by especially really understanding the message of the gospel, like actually really understanding it, know exactly why Jesus had to die on the cross. Know exactly. Don't just say it as a mantra. You got to know. And if you don't know, pray to find out. And then have that in your heart to where that's what you want to share. And then I could just see, you know, being in jail somewhere and being the guy who is just can't stop preaching in jail, you know, like has to do it. No DVDs, no tracks to hand out. And, you know, at that point, you being such a light, it doesn't even matter what. I mean, it doesn't matter. Nothing matters. I mean, just that matters. And so it's just going to be a wild ride if you are seeking first the kingdom of God and just seek it, seek hard after it. And just I'm sure we'd all be amazed at what God can do with our lives and where it would take us all.
Mm-hmm. Good word, man. Good word. Well, I guess we're approaching close to an hour here. I guess that's about where I think it's a good place to leave off. Real quick, though, like I said, the email address for the show is swordofthespirit1@verizon.net. I'd love to hear from anyone that has prayer requests, praise, you know, anything and everything people want to hear about. You know, people want to encourage each other, whatever. Send in the email. I'll get it out there for everybody to hear or read or whatever. And, again, I'd like to thank Chris. Really appreciate you helping me out, getting this started, getting this first show going. Everybody listen to Chris's show on Revelations Radio Network. It's Nowhere to Run. And he's also on the Frank and Chris show live Wednesday nights at, was it 9?
Nine Eastern.
And 9 Eastern.
There's a show that I do that's more dedicated just to preaching and things about the Word and things, and it's called The Full Armor of God. It's also on the Revelations Radio Network.
Hey, did you want to throw out anything about the online house church?
Oh, yeah, onlinehousechurch.org, and Derek has been doing a really, really good job with that. If anybody is, you know, it's a live thing just like this where, you know, but you can call in and you can talk, and I'm sure you can call on this one too, but and it's just a great way for everybody to sit and share and have talk, you know, talk about. Derek is an incredibly well, just blessed person in studying the scriptures, so it's just a great time. It's Saturdays. And it's a great time. It's afternoon. You can check onlinehousechurch.org for the times.
Awesome. Awesome, man. Well, with that, real quick, I'd like to pray, and then we'll end it here until next time.
That sounds good.
Heavenly Father, we come to you humbly and thank you for the blessings you have given us. Lord, I pray that you would use me and use this format as a way to reach out to believers and unbelievers alike. Lord, help us to encourage them, build up their own faith, and if it be your will, Lord, even lead someone to you. Lord, I pray that you bless Chris for helping me get this thing going, and bless his ministry that he's doing in his own town, passing out stuff. And in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, man. Thanks, Chris. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, CJ.